Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, hello and welcome to Following On, following a quite brilliant day of Test cricket for England. Started the day 79 for 2, a lead of 98, and they'd increased that by 158 by the first break of the day, the tea break, which comes before dinner, of course. Four wickets have fallen, though. New Zealand is still hanging gamely on. Runs for Ollie Pope and also Harry Brook, 49 for Pope, 57 for Brook, and Root as well with a half century. Neil Wagner picked up two early wickets but went for 100, was going at 10 and over as both Pope and Root tucked into the short pitch stuff, hooking with disdain. It was quite brilliant, breathless stuff really. The afternoon session, or the middle session, saw more wickets fall, but England's run rate never dropped. Another 100 run session. We've had quite a few of those in this day-night test affair. England in the end bowled out for 374, and where the balance between bat and ball had been fairly even for the day, it went decisively towards the ball. Stuart Broad, quite brilliant, even for his lofty standards. Four wickets all bowled Conway Williamson, Latham and Blundell his victims. Nichols, a sorry figure, walking off with just seven to his name. Will we see him at Wellington? That we shall see. Robinson with that breakthrough. New Zealand, well, they're going to lose this test match. They're still 331 runs adrift, 63 for 5. It's a sorry looking scorecard if you're a Kiwi. But England are buoyed, and we'll be hearing from the boys very shortly. You're listening to Following On. So Steve Harmison alongside with breathless stuff there. Absolute brilliance from Stuart Broad. England's batters did the job. 50s for Brook, 50 for Root, 50 for Folks, 49 for Pope. Robinson weighed in with 39. But it's not about the batters today. It's about the bowlers, and one in particular, Stuart Broad.
Yeah, unbelievable from Stuart Broad. The batters have always, they always set the game up, and they're playing at a run rate now, which is ridiculous, and giving England so much time to take 20 wickets and their bowlers to make a difference. And a lot of question marks on the great man before this series. Hadn't played at a weird test match since Hobart. Could Broad, Anderson and Robinson play in the same team in the Southern Hemisphere away from home? Can Anderson and Broad play in the same test match ever again? That was all labelled at, you know, the great pair. And they broke the record in this game, largely down to the brilliance of Stuart Broad. He got his knees pumping, got himself in a position of strength, got the conditions, which, as always, puts a bowler under pressure when you get things in your favour, whether it's seaming conditions, swinging conditions. You've got to put the ball in the good area. And he's gone bold, 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 bold. Four bold, all hitting the top of off stump. Left-handers, right-handers. The ball, for me, as much as I thought, you know, the ball to Latham and Conway was a good one, but the ball for me was the Blundell one. Off the back of 100, he's pitched one just outside off stump, nipped it back onto the top of off stump, And this was a man not 24 hours ago who got 100 and kept England at bay. It was a magnificent spell of bowling from Stuart Broad. And we'll hopefully be speaking to him very soon.
I mean, New Zealand were just blown away, weren't they? You know, they won the toss on day one. They were erratic. Well, they were poor with the ball, let's be honest. England gifted a few wickets. You know, 325 for 9 declared. You thought, well, you know, OK, they are kind of still in it. They're 83 for 5. They're 170 off for 7. If not for Tom Blundell, then the game's done by now, imagine.
We'd be on a beach. We would have been on a beach this afternoon, I think, and we'd have been, you know, probably sipping drinks with umbrellas in by now if it hadn't have been for Tom Blundell, because you know, his was the difference yesterday. And you're right. I think there's a fine line between criticising bowlers if they're bowling badly and criticising bowlers of England knock them off their lengths. I actually think England knocked them off their lengths today. I thought they bowled badly yesterday.
OK, let's head to Sam Ellard, who's with Stuart Broad.
Yeah, I am, John. That was a pretty special hour and a half of cricket, wasn't it? Pink ball, the floodlights on, the Barmy Army in pretty good voice, and wow, that was not a bad spell of bowling from yourself, Broadly. 4 wickets, how did you find that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Baz has made his mantra pretty clear to the team that it's about entertainment and playing positive cricket. And I think if you've paid your ticket to watch today's play from the way we played with the bat, I mean, Harry Brook, what a player he is, the way he played. You'd been fully entertained throughout the day, wouldn't you? And you know, we've quite deliberately played this game in a way that we want to give ourselves as much overs as we can with a hard new ball under the lights. You know, we've seen Australia and Adelaide do that many a time and sort of followed that. We know it's harder to bat under the lights, particularly coming in as a new batter. So the way we've played is to try and set the game up to bowl as much as we can in these conditions. And I love tonight, you know. Barmy Army in, singing away. People have travelled and given up so much to come and watch us in this part of the world. It's a beautiful part of the world, but it's not the easiest to get to, especially when a cyclone's going. But we sort of, you know, these sort of performances and entertainment are for the supporters that A, watch us at home, and B, come to this part of the world to come and watch us, because I think anyone at the ground today has had a lot of fun.
Well, I think I was on the grass bank for half an hour earlier. I can guarantee you everyone on that grass bank over there had a good time. But just for you, was that you at your absolute best? I mean, you know, legs pumping, tail up, you know, it felt as if every single ball you were going to get a wicket. We've seen that so often in the past where you get one early, your tail's up, and it feels like every time you bowl, you're going to get a wicket.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, I actually felt like I bowled okay in the first innings, but having not played since September, probably surged a little bit mentally. You know, you want to settle into the game, but you want to take wickets for the team. And I maybe didn't sort of repeat my the ball I was trying to bowl often enough. And that can happen. You know I'm an experienced bowler, but when you haven't been in the heat of the contest for 4 or 5 months, you can just sort of think of slightly different things. But today was really simple for me. I knew the pitch had dried out slightly and was taking a little seam for the wobble, and I just thought, right, I'm going to hit the pitch as hard as I possibly can, keep it as simple as I possibly can, and try and bring the stumps into play. And anytime you get quality batters out with good balls nipping back and bowling, it's pretty special. But I must admit, I enjoyed the Kane one.
Yeah, favourite one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always like bowling at left-handers, but you know, I've had to watch Kane bat for the best part of 12 years at the other end. So anytime you get him early, you're pretty happy.
And you mentioned there the way the batsmen set the game up. You know, 3 batsmen past 50. I know he didn't get 100, but you mentioned there at the top of the interview, was today more evidence that Harry Brook, man, he's some player, isn't he? He's got the world at his feet.
Yeah, he's superb. And I think, you know, he's come into this team. Sometimes a lot of sport's about timing. And I just think there's a few guys come into this team at the perfect time for the leadership that's in place. Brookie's certainly one of those that springs to mind. You've seen the development of someone like Ollie Pope, not just as a player, but in the way his leadership's sort of gathering and the confidence that he's bringing to the changing room. But you know, I sort of wish there was like a fly on the wall documentary going on.
Make it happen. We can make it happen. Let TalkSport into the England dressing room. Come on,
because it's phenomenal, really. You know, I can't think that I've heard like a negative word said for 8 months. And you know, even if you know someone gets out, it's very much taking the positive option at all times. And how we, you know, no one ever talks about economy rates. I've not heard that mentioned. It's all about taking wickets. How can we take wickets every single ball? That's what we're looking to do. And batters, how can we find the boundary and put the bowlers under pressure? And you know, it's very special for me at 36 to be part of that change room and see it sort of firsthand. But it's also pretty cool to watch as well.
It is indeed fun to watch. I know it seemed a long time ago now, but this time last night, hashtag Nighthawk was trending on Twitter thanks to yourself. I've got to ask you about last night. You came in, didn't you, as the Night Watchman, also now known as the Nighthawk. And obviously, because it's, you know, this New England team, the thought of, I guess, leaving the ball and blocking the ball was boring. So you thought you'd charge down the wicket and hit every ball for six. It was some of the best entertainment I've seen in a long time, Stuart.
I think entertainment's the right word, yeah. I mean, if you'd have asked me 18 months ago if I'd have been batting number four above Joe Root, not even as a Night Watchman, just to try and go and hit boundaries, I'd have laughed at you. But I think, you know, it sort of tags on to the entertainment that Baz is trying to bring to everyone. And, you know, it's something that it's quite fun, you know, getting the pads on at different times of the day. You never know what's coming. You just hear him sort of walk into the change room. We make eye contact with you and he's like, Hawk, it's time. it didn't come off this time, but if I stay relaxed and get the opportunity again, I'll try and make hay while the night shines.
Good man. I guess obviously plan tomorrow is try and take those wickets as quick as possible, so then we've all got two big nights out in this wonderful place.
we'll try and give you a bit of a celebration, but yeah, I mean, I've played enough test cricket to know that we've got a bit of work to do tomorrow. But you know, Mitchell and Bracewell have been good players against us, and particularly Mitchell's, you know, really gritty characters we saw last summer, so we'll find a way to try and make some inroads tomorrow. We know it's harder in the daytime than it is at the night, but you know, I think just the effort in the field, the passion that we show, the way lads throw themselves around and dive into the boundary boards, it's a great style of cricket that we're playing, and we'll continue that at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
And final one, I nearly forgot to ask you, Anderson and Broad, now the most prolific pairing of bowlers in Test cricket. You've gone above McGraw and Warne, you've got over 1,000 wickets together. I think everyone's probably riding out superlatives to talk about you, absolute legends, not just of English cricket, but Test cricket. But, I mean, that's some effort, isn't it, Broadie, as two fast bowlers? What does that mean to you, that record?
Yeah, it's very special to do something like that with one of my great mates and someone who, outside of cricket, will be a friend for life and has been there through cricketing times but also personal times. You know, most prolific, yes. Greatest, I wouldn't say so. McGraw and Warne are two heroes of mine growing up, and what they did for a generation of Australian cricket was outstanding. We've taken over in wickets tally, which is pretty special as two fast bowlers. You know, almost the longevity of that is probably the most surprising thing. But I just feel lucky and pretty blessed that I've been born in the same era as Jimmy. And, you know, we're different bowlers for sure, but I think we complement each other really well. And actually, Chris Wokes texted me this morning, last night, I know it all blends into one with these day
it's
nights.
It's all the same, isn't it?
He was like, 1,000 wickets together looks mad when I type it out. And actually, when I read it, I was like, yeah, that just looks really strange. I remember taking like my 100th wicket and I thought that was a marathon. So for us to take in 1,000 together is quite mind-boggling, really.
Brilliant stuff. Sam Eller with Stuart Broad there. Wow, there's a lot to dissect from that interview, isn't it? First off, Alan Brazil in the dressing room. He's got to be hosting that Fly on the Wall documentary that talks what are going to be bringing you from inside the England camp as they take the Ashes this year. But where do you start? I mean, this is a guy that's been playing Test cricket since 2007, and he sounds as fresh and as rejuvenated and as happy as I think I've ever heard him.
I think the selectors have done him a favour a couple of times, and the biggest one was leaving him out of the West Indies, because I think that was a possibility that he probably wouldn't have played again. And whenever Stuart Broad is challenged, whenever he's put up his backs against the wall and somebody's saying that, you know, it maybe it's time for him to move on or he's not first choice, he comes back with a special spell, and he comes back with a match-winning spell. You mentioned it a bit earlier. You know, he didn't just win them three spells in against Australia. Didn't just win Test matches. He won the Ashes three times with the spells of bowling at the Oval, at Chesley Street, and then at Trent Bridge. And they made a difference in the Ashes to win it. And that's what this guy does. And again, I'll say it again, I still believed when I came over here that he probably wasn't first choice for the Ashes. And when a lot of people would say Anderson and Robinson were probably ahead of him with a fast bowler. But when he puts spells together like that, and you've got Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes creating an environment, five Test matches in 7 weeks, you're going to need as many fast bowlers as you can in form. And if Stuart doesn't play in all five, he'll definitely make a contribution in possibly three, possibly four. And at this minute in time, the way he's bowling like that, after having the break in the West Indies, the time off, the birth of a first child, things are still fresh for Mr. Broad, and who wouldn't back against him going and doing another spell of bowling like that in the summer against Australia, possibly to win the Ashes, probably for the final time.
India 179 for 7, by the way, if you're tuning in to listen to live and exclusive coverage of the second test match in Delhi. Adam Collins and the SEN team will be taking you through, guiding you through until about 11:30 a.m. UK time, the final session of day two. The game is just ridiculous, isn't it, how quickly Test cricket is played these days. But essentially, India trailing by 84. Ashwin and Akshar Patel at the crease. 84 behind. It's a minefield, it seems, that pitch there. It seemed like a minefield this evening when England were bowling, for sure. Less so in the first two sessions of play, but that's day-night test cricket for you. Before we bring in Daniel McCarty for the last 10 minutes of the show, I mean, is there anything, any solace that New Zealand can take from what has been a punishing day?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to look as from a positive point of view from a New Zealand camp, and I'm struggling to find one. Tom Blundell's 138 in the first innings. Devin Conway, he tried and battled hard. I don't think the bowlers have been at the races, to be fair. There's been complete chalk and cheese from both attacks, and I think that's the difference. And like I said before, there's a fine balance between criticising the bowling unit, who have been hit off their length by a very positive, very proactive England batting unit, and then bowling poorly and not being anywhere near the standard of international test cricket. I think the latter happened in the first innings. I thought they were all over a shambles in the first innings. I thought second innings they bowled a little bit better, and I think you can compliment England for the proactiveness and the way they have played. But when it comes down to it, I think if England do win, and I fully expect England to win by the first break tomorrow, I think England can look at the mirror and say we beat New Zealand in all three facets. I think we fielded better than New Zealand. I think England have bowled better than New Zealand, and England have definitely, certainly batted better than New Zealand. And that's, for me, is why England are at this minute in time 331 runs in the lead, and I fully expect England to go on and take the victory at some point tomorrow afternoon.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, well, let's get Daniel McCarty in position. Big thanks to Steve Harmison, who'll be back tomorrow. The golf will have to wait until the afternoon. We're waiting to see whether Sam Ellar picks up another player interview, but while we wait for that, and I'm not sure that too many New Zealand players are going to be putting themselves forward with Willie Nicholls to come and speak to us. But Daniel McCarty is with us. And same question, really. I mean, New Zealand have done well to stay on the coattails of England for the first 2.5 days. But they've just been blown away this evening in a manner that we kind of expected, as having seen something similar on day one. But is there anything you can take from that? Or is it just a case of England are too good.
What I can take from that is Broad, Anderson and Robinson are fine bowlers in these conditions. When there is something in it for the bowlers, they've manufactured the day perfectly as far as controlling the scoring rate and getting themselves in a position, England, where they could have an hour and a half, 2 hours, essentially it was, in that final session New Zealand had to get through. The last hour, hour and a half is really when you are under lights, but the damage was already done by that stage, ironically. Stuart Broad, fantastic. Wasn't it wonderful to get a real insight? Incredible thinker of the game. He speaks so very, very well. And, you know, a player with, 560-odd test wickets, still has these burning patches of form, doesn't he? When he gets red hot, he gets searing hot. You know, white hot he was, and hitting the pitch hard, bowling straight, bringing the stumps into play. It's a pretty simple plan, but you've got to be good enough to execute, and he did, and he just got the ball to move back, alarmingly bowled, you know, painful channels. I'll think of the dismiss of Latham. He was looking actually quite compact and decent, but it's in that painful fifth stump line, and he's thinking, should I play, should I not play, and he's halfway through a defensive stroke, halfway leaving, and it sneaks through and hits the timber, and Latham spins around and almost hits the stumps, Chris Broad's style, ironically. I thought he was actually going to follow through, and a real sign of New Zealand's frustration. I just thought they were simply superb. Yes, England have had two cracks under the lights compared to New Zealand's one. I'm talking about the bowlers. But in 41 overs, the New Zealand batsmen combined in the third session of this test, so day number one and day number three for those listening, New Zealand have had to endure 41 demanding overs from this English attack. In those 41 overs, 100 runs have been scored and they've lost 8 wickets. In direct comparison, England have had 16 overs on day number two, under the lights, 79 for 2. Yep, New Zealand picked up 2 wickets. England picked up 3 on day number one, but England were still forceful with ball, with bat in hand, even in tricky batting conditions. So I think I've used the analogy. They started off a marathon at a sprinting pace, and New Zealand have been desperately sort of holding on, but it looks like England have kicked away and are now running away with this. So, yes, Mitchell has done it in the past against England in 2022. He will fight tooth and nail. He'll use every tactic. He'll take off his gloves 3 times in the last over so they don't get another over under the lights. Bracewell, nervous start. He looks a nervous starter. I'm not sure he really trusts his defensive game. Can he bat a long period of time? If he starts hitting it, it could be a lot of fun. His natural game's more in attune with the English batting, the way the English go about their batting, but it's a long, long way away, isn't it? So, yes, if I reflect on the day's play, England's clearly England's day by a long way. The first session, New Zealand got one half of the equation right with their bowling. They picked up 4 wickets. I had that down in my notes as the bare minimum, but they also needed to control the scoring rate. They didn't. England, for those who are just tuning in, went at 6.2 runs and over in that first session. They scored 158. And the game sort of getting out of New Zealand's control. I thought the middle session, New Zealand, mainly through Michael Bracewell and his off breaks, did a good job. Picked up 2 wickets, still clinging on, and they were able to get. They had a session where they kept the run rate under 4 runs and over. That was impressive. But that third session, after mopping up the English tail for the addition of just 25 more runs, you know, 23 searching overs was coming their way, and they've lost 5. Simply not good enough. So. Yep, they'll get to bat in pretty friendly conditions tomorrow on a surface that looks very good for batting on still. But you know the ball will still do enough to keep those seamers in play. And I thought Bracewell, I was hoping Bracewell would play a part today. It was the case. I've been saying it for over a day now. Jack Leach is really going to play a part in the fourth innings. A couple of footmarks outside of the left-handers too. He might just be the cherry on top for England.
Well, he's going to have to get the ball out of Stuart Broad's hands first, because Stuart Broad, of course, goes in with 4 wickets to his name. He's going to want to come back, and I'm not sure how big the honours board is here at Mount Maunganui. I mean,
it won't be very long. This is the fourth test.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, BJ Watling's up there with the bat, and so is Tom Blundell, of course. But Stuart Broad, well, he's 1 wicket away from getting on the honours board. I mean, it's a little bit early, I suppose. Got a couple of minutes left of the show, but looking ahead to Wellington, you know, there's always a clamour for changes. There'll certainly be one Matt Henry will come back into the side.
You would think so, John. He was originally named in the squad.
But what about within the batting? Because Henry Nicholls, I mean, you've got to feel for the guy. He's batting for his career, temporarily anyway. You know, you never know what is around the corner. But to come out in both innings and to have to face such quality bowlers in such difficult circumstances, I mean, how's your luck?
Yeah, he'd just be desperate to hopefully get the nod, bat in daylight in Wellington. Maybe not on the first session, where it does. You know, Wellington will look very green. We'll post photos 2 days out. Our listeners on TalkSport might lose their minds going, it's going to be a green seamer. It never seems around as much as it looks in Wellington. It still is a new ball wicket. You've got to bowl well with the new ball to get wickets. It won't deteriorate. It won't spin a lot. But there's good pace and bounce in it. So the English attack is still going to find ways to trouble the New Zealand lineup. But you're right. I do feel for Nicholls. I never like it when someone's career is on the line. I just have a sneaking suspicion this rather conservative New Zealand selection and coaching group will probably give him one last chance in Wellington.
Well, we'll find out. You'll find out with us on TalkSport 2. We've still got this game to finish, so we'll be back tomorrow afternoon. It'll be 12:30 in the morning. Sunday night, I think. I'm starting to get a little bit confused about where we are in the world and what time it is and what time it isn't. Partly because we're about to head over to India as well. So three different time zones. I haven't got a prayer. Either way, thanks for listening to the action from Mount Maunganui here in New Zealand. It's been England's day, absolutely. And at some point tomorrow, they're going to close out a win, a big win and a rare win in this part of the world. And we're going to be heading to Wellington, where it all began, really, for Anderson and Broad. They've capped it off. They reached the 1,000 wicket mark here at Mount Maunganui. A spell for the ages for Stuart Broad. And New Zealand, really, are searching for the answers. England posing too many questions today. Just too good when it came to that final session of Test cricket. But we will be back tomorrow. And hopefully you will join us as well. Coming up, though, after the break here on TalkSport 2, live and exclusive coverage from Delhi and that second test between India and Australia. But that's all she wrote here. From Mount Maunganui, England end day three, well on top. In Mount Maunganui at the top of the North Island. And if day three is anything as good as days one or two, then we're in for a treat.
It's a very good bouncer, and Stuart Broad can't handle it. Bounces out behind square on the offside, and a simple catch is taken short. Pulled by Ollie Pope, and he's got right underneath it and helped it away onto the bank over fine leg for six.
Root doing the same. He goes across the stumps, gets inside the line, hits down to up, hits it over. And this one is hit high. This is the biggest of the bunt. A 50-run partnership in 28 minutes. Test cricket. Short again, leg side, big appeal for Cope behind.
Straight in the right hand, Cope will have to go.
That is pitched up and it's driven gloriously by Harry Pope. Extra cover.
Oh, goes outside of off stump and clubs him back over his head. One bounce into the fence for four. Joe Root, chalk up another half century. 50 off 52, 5-4, 1-6. The Rolls Royce is purring today. And that will allow Brook to calmly play through mid-on. And he too can join Joe Root on 50. Well played. What a start to his Test career. Ticknut has a wicket, caught it. Slip, Brook.
Last ball. Oh, there's a catcher there. Yes, there is. It's Joe Root on the reverse sweep. New Zealand strike with the final ball of the session. England 237 for six.
It's a pull shot that's very fine. Almost scooped it around the corner and it's travelled over the boundary for six. A huge smile on Stokes' face tells me everything I need to know about this. Gets inside the line, he pulls away to fine leg. Wagner! Well, you can add another six. He takes the catch and trips over the rope and falls over. This game that has just been so entertaining.
Yep, that's another record. Ben Stokes became the leading six hitter in the history of Test cricket with his 109th today.
Down the wicket comes Stokes and he's stumped. Down the wicket, looking to thump it over long on, and Ben Folkes delights in dispatching it to deep mid-wicket.
It's another short one, it's another pull shot from Folkes, and it's another boundary.
Pulled away powerfully forward of square, out of the fence, not for four because Bracewell slides. But a half century nonetheless for Folkes. A really good knock from a very good player. Oh, he's feathered an edge and he's gone, pressing forward. Tickner's got one to bounce on him. And Folkes goes
short and slapped away by Robinson through mid-off for four.
That was absolutely dismissive.
349 for 8, 69 overs gone. England lead by 368.
Another wicket, and Robinson again, a man who'd got in, decided to hurry things up.
Stumped him. Bracewell turns it a pass. Jack Leach, who's on the charge, swinging lustily. The Black Caps of New Zealand will require 394 to win this first test match.
Away with a crisp stroke through mid-wicket, just slightly overpitched, kept the balance and nudged it through the gap and out to the fence for four. Yeah. Here's another one, because Broad's got it to nip back and bold as Devon Conway. Beauty from Broad.
Out! Kane Williamson has just chopped on. It's that angle of attack from England and Stuart Broad. And Williamson has got to go for a duck. And he's got him! Third wicket for Stuart Broad. Latham's got to go for 15.
It's an edge gone. Folks takes the catch. Nichols is gone. New Zealand are four down.
Bold. Bold! Another! Would you believe it? He's got four! All bold. New Zealand have been shredded.
End of day three. New Zealand are 63 for five. New Zealand are still 331 runs away from their victory target.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.